Isn't that interesting? You know, that's because, yes, the Holy Spirit, I mean, obviously is God. But, you know, there are qualities of the Holy Spirit that we find in Scripture. And people operate in different facets more strongly than others. Some are stronger in one part of that anointing. Others may have a different sense that's in them. You look in Isaiah chapter 11, where there's a prophecy about the Messiah who was going to come on the scene. One of these glorious prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. And it's really interesting what it says about the Holy Spirit here. Let's take a look at that. Isaiah chapter 11. It says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, talking about Jesus coming on the scene after, you know, the right ancestry. Verse 2 says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. How many different qualities of the Spirit are shown there? Six? Yeah, six or seven, depending upon whether you want to include the first one. The Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Now, check this out. This is what I believe is latent in that passage. You know, these qualities could be considered giftings of the Holy Spirit. For instance, the Spirit of wisdom. Couldn't that be a word of wisdom from the Holy Spirit? Someone who has that insight and is able to propose things that have such a grace about them that even in spite of circumstances come about when you follow it by faith, and God does incredible things. How about the second one, Spirit of understanding. Couldn't that be a gift of mercy? Where you are able to relate and understand people, and when they pour out their heart, you're able to give such grace and minister life and healing and wholeness to them. That Spirit of understanding. How about the next one? The Spirit of counsel. How about a gift of exhortation? To be able not simply to listen and minister mercy, but to impart sound, godly advice that rings of truth and has a clarity to it that witnesses in a person's spirit that says, yeah, of course, that's obviously what the Lord wants me to do. And to be able to give them wise counsel. How about the Spirit of might? Possibly the gift of miracles or a gift of deliverance where you are able to go against the enemy and do works that are powerful, that unleash the chains off of people's lives and set them free in the glory of God. How about the Spirit of knowledge? That could be a word of knowledge, possibly. How about the Spirit of the fear of the Lord? You know, when the early church did, in the book of Acts, when they did some of the mighty miracles they did, it says that fear fell upon all the people. Man, I've never seen that done before. Whoa, buddy, did you see that? I'll tell you what, man, if somebody raised the dead in front of my face, I think I would be like a little bit dead. I'd be like, whoa. I'm serious, man. We were at a funeral the other day. If somebody had gone up and laid hands on that man and he'd have sat up in that casket, I think people would have been running all over that place. But you look in the early church, people feared the church, not because they were, you know, the government power. They feared the church because they saw the power of God doing miraculous things that their mind couldn't wrap itself around. And so many saw and feared the Lord. These qualities could be considered giftings, impartations of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you may have the Holy Spirit, but somebody may be stronger in a certain anointing than you, and you may hunger for that. You may want some of that stuff. I hope I'm speaking to somebody here. I've been listening to a CD series by Bill Johnson, man. Love this guy, and I'm so grateful to have access to these CDs. They're wonderful. He was one of the speakers at the conference we went to in Baltimore a couple of weeks ago. Nice guy. On the CD, he was talking about a man named George Jeffries, who was a healing evangelist in the early part of the century. He actually got saved during the Welsh Revival. Remember 1904, the revival in Wales? He actually got saved there. Went out, began a ministry of evangelism and healing. During the 20s and 30s, he was friends with Amy Semple McPherson, had a wonderful healing and evangelism ministry. Tens of thousands of people in Europe, and particularly in Wales, got saved under his ministry. His brother ministered with him, a guy named Stephen Jeffries. How many of you have ever heard of George Jeffries? I knew Gene would say yes. Last night, I knew you would raise your hand. Well? Oh, there you go. Praise God. but aside from Gene, most of us have never heard of this guy, right? How many people say, I never heard of the guy? Who the heck is George Jeffries? Isn't he the guy that, you know, we're moving on up to, you know? That's George Jefferson. I'm sorry. I'm always getting them mixed up. George Jeffries, and he had a brother, Stephen, who was mightily anointed in healing, in particular in cases of arthritis. I mean, you know, Bill Johnson was talking about people who would literally be like curled up from arthritic disability. Their body would just be emaciated and just knot it all up, and the anointing of God would come on them when this man would pray for them, and they could you could see them literally just like unfold like a flower as that arthritis just left their body and God healed them miraculously. That was his brother, Stephen Jeffries. Sadly, Stephen had so much success. Bill Johnson relates that at one point, he looked out at all that God was doing through him, and a little bit of pride seeped in, and he said, wow, man, I'm on top of the world. It's like he violated that anointing, and he eventually actually wound up dying of the very disease that God had used him to heal so many multitudes of. He died of arthritis. It just literally took his life. Now, George Jeffries never violated that anointing. He worked faithfully in it. He worked powerfully in it all of his life. He was huge in the 20s and 30s. He went off the scene a little bit after that, but then he became famous again in the 50s. He started having a revival of those things. At the end of his life, after many years of faithful service to God, he's at the end of his life. He's laying on his deathbed. And a young teenager comes up and knocks on his door. And this teenager was hungry for the gift and anointing of God. He ached for what George Jeffries had. Something inside had laid a hold of him, and he had to have that. And so George Jeffries is there on his deathbed, literally. And this young teenager comes up and knocks on the door and would like to see him. So his wife lets him in. She takes him into the bedroom where George Jeffries is there dying. And George Jeffries lays hands on this teenage boy and imparts that gift of ministry to him. He imparts that anointing of healing on him. That teenager's name, some of you may have heard of him, that teenager's name was Reinhard Bonnke. How many people have heard of him? Okay, several. We have some pictures of him up here. In case you haven't heard of him, he has one of the most powerful, largest healing and evangelism ministries in the entire planet. He has preached to over 1 million people in a single gathering. And you can see, they can't even get the people in the viewfinder of the camera. In Africa, he particularly ministers in Africa. There's so many people. It's nothing for several hundred thousand people to come to one of his crusades. And tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands get saved. And incredible, mind-blowing miracles of healing and deliverance happen during his crusades. Wonderfully, powerfully anointed man of God. And George Jeffries imparted that gifting to him on his deathbed because as a teenager he was so hungry for the things of God that he would not be denied. Reinhard Bonnke. Does that stir anything inside of you? Anybody getting hungry? Praise God. I could talk about Elijah and Elisha. I could go on and talk about other things in the Scripture, but I want to talk about us for a moment in closing. I want to talk about me and you and the things that we want. I hope you guys are hungry for some of this. I know I am famished. Maybe there are certain spiritual gifts that you would love for the Lord to give you. Maybe some of these things we've talked about today, miracles, healings, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy, praying in tongues, interpretation of tongues, mercy. Maybe there are gifts that you would love for the Lord to give to you. And it's not that you're ungrateful for the ones that you have, but something inside of you aches for that impartation. Something inside of you, when I talk about this stuff, it just grips you. And something inside of you says, man, I want that. I want to lay hands on people and see them recover. I want to lay hands on people and see them delivered from demonic oppression. See that spirit of darkness just flee off of them and their countenance change before my very eyes. I want to see people set free. I want to lay hands on children who are disabled and crippled and see God do a creative miracle and actually grow out joints and tissue and muscle and heal these kids. And you sense that God has something more for you than what you're experiencing in your walk right now. For me personally, I hunger for a greater anointing and healing. I've been very blessed to have a couple of instances, either being healed myself or of praying for people who God ultimately healed, maybe in a group with other people. But to have that anointing, I so hunger for that, to be able to go out on the streets and not only share the gospel with them. Man, I love to. I think God has given me a gift of evangelism that I'm still developing. I think it's still embryonic, but it's starting to grow. And to be able to go out on the streets and witness to the people and not only say, hey, you know, do you want to pray to receive Christ? But even before I get there, if I see him, like God was speaking to my heart. I'm like, God, you know, if you gave me that gift, you know, could I use it in a place like this? I was walking into 7-Eleven and a guy had, and I looked up and the guy behind, as I was giving my money to the cashier, he had his arm in a sling. And it was like God saying, what do you think? I asked God that same question a few days later as I was in the McDonald's because he didn't put enough sweet and low in my coffee. I had to park the car and go inside and get more sweet and low. And I'm in there putting this stuff in. I'm like, God, do you think, I mean, really, was that you? Do you think you could use me in that? And I looked up and there was a man standing right there in front of me with a very conspicuous back brace on. And I'm thinking, God, don't tease me. Don't even do that if you're not serious about this thing, man. Because wouldn't I love to just walk up to that gentleman and say, sir, would you mind? I'm a Christian. I just know that God loves to do good things for his people. Would you mind if I prayed for you and just see the power of God come on that man and him leave that back brace there in the trash can at McDonald's and walk out whole? Man, do you think you could reach people for Jesus if you could do that? Praise God. Guess what? That's how it's done. Open your New Testament. That's what they did. They didn't need a lot of big plans and schemes and carrying on, man. They just went out full of the Holy Ghost and started praying for folk. And when they got saved, they're like, I want what you got. I want to know the one who healed me. I would love to see that. Even the baptism of the Holy Spirit, man. I know what that's like. It's powerful. I want to give that to folk and to, so that they can have an encounter with God and know the majestic, glorious strength and power and majesty of our God when they stand in the outpoured presence of his just radiant glory shining down. We went to Peru a couple years ago. Bunch of us from here. And we visited several children's hospitals. And the things we saw just crushed my heart. To see children down in there who have very little medical care available to them. Most of them in the hospital were already malnourished. They didn't get enough to eat, so they were already susceptible. Many of them were already developmentally disabled because they weren't getting enough nourishment to allow their body to grow and develop the way it should. And on top of that, they were plagued with heart-wrenching diseases, disfiguring diseases, ugly things that ought never be on a precious little child. Kids who were born with birth defects, misshapen skulls. It was heart-wrenching. One little girl I know was eaten up with demons. She would act cute for a minute and she would come and attack you and try to tear into you with her teeth and bite you. And my heart ached and we prayed for so many of those kids and we didn't see any results. No, I don't know. Maybe God healed them later. Maybe we left and God did so. We were walking down the hall. We were getting ready to leave the hospital, and a man came out and said, "Please, please, please, would you pray for my child?" And she had this terminal condition. And so we're like, "Gosh, you know, I wish, you know, somebody else was walking down the hall, but sure, you know, I mean, we're all." Yeah, well, we'll be glad to pray. And we stood next to that bed, and to hear that man cry out to God. I have never heard a prayer warrior like that man as he cried out for mercy for his child. The child was laying barely conscious in the bed in front of us, and we gathered around and we prayed with all of every fiber of our being that God would heal that little baby. And that dad cried out with tears coursing down his face from the depths of his soul, agonizing cries to God to save his child. And I wanted that child so bad to just suddenly spring to life and open their eyes and to see that glory on them. And we prayed as long and as powerfully as we could, and he thanked us profusely afterwards with tears pouring down his face, and we hugged on each other and blessed him and loved him and promised we would continue to pray. But we had to walk out without seeing any results. And that just is unacceptable when the power of God is available to us to do these very things. Scripture is implicit that he gives gifts of healing, that people walk in that anointing. And it is just simply unacceptable to me to do that anymore. I know that even in the greatest ministries, there are people who don't get healed, and you don't let that discourage you. You just continue to pray for those in hopes that God will heal those whom he will. But to see no results, to go 6,000 miles to another country and pray for a multitude of children and see no visible results is just not acceptable. I refuse to simply bend my theology to try to accommodate that and say, well, it just wasn't for me. I am going to pursue and lay a hold of this thing until I have to do it till my very last breath is in my body.